This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 201. This episode was pre-recorded. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Earth 2 is coming, so it's back to class for Power Girl and Huntress 101. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, April 8th, 2012. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs. And you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Well, there's some big events coming up. We're going to C2E2 in Chicago next week.
Woohoo! Woo-hoo!
And of course, Free Comic Book Day is fast approaching. That's May 5th. So we're having a big party, but you're getting the presents in our big contest. Announcer bot, tell them what you could win.
A Wolverine bobblehead figure. A Night Owl classic Watchman figure. A Silver Age Perry White figure. A 24 TV series trading card set. Variant covers. And a Green Arrow Quiver by Kevin Smith hardcover. Pictures of all the prizes will be on the website. Back to you, Mark.
So how do you win? Well, you can like or share the Facebook link for this week's episode, or retweet the tweet for this week's episode, or comment on this week's episode at sfpodcastnetwork.com. Do all three to triple your chance to win. Now, we're taping the show in advance, so we're not awarding this week, but the prizes we have currently are the Wolverine bobblehead and the Night Owl classic Watchman figure. And that's thanks to
our good friends at Pack Rat Comics.
I've been collecting comics for over 20 years, and no one matches the quality and value of Pack Rat Comics in Hilliard, Ohio. Jamie and Teresa have your favorite comics in stock, along with action figures and all kinds of comic collectibles, along with a huge lower level filled with long boxes of older titles at great prices. Pack Rat is well-organized, clean, and welcoming to new customers. They also hold regular events, including a mini-convention for the upcoming Free Comic Book Day. Special guests this year include Ernie Hudson from the Ghostbusters franchise and Noel Fisher from Twilight, along with over a dozen artists. So check them out on the web at packratcomics.com, facebook.com/packratcomics, or call 614-527-8450, or just drop by. They're on Latimer Street in Hilliard, Ohio, open 7 days a week. I trust Pack Rat for my weekly comic book order, and so should you. Back to you, Mindy.
So how do you win again? You like or share the Facebook link for this week's episode, retweet the tweet for this week's episode, or comment on this week's episode at sfpodcastnetwork.com. Do all three to triple your chances to win.
Well, with all the Earth 2 stuff that's coming up at DC, we thought it's time to cover two of the main characters that are going to be in this, and that's Power Girl and Huntress. So, Power Girl, one character, many continuities. Her first appearance was in All-Star Comics number 58 in 1976, created by Jerry Conway. Her name is based on a Lois Lane story from Superman number 125.
Was Lois Lane Power Girl?
Yes. Yes.
Ah.
Now, the JSA was being reintroduced to the DCU. You saw them in the JLA-JSA crossovers every year, but that's pretty much the only time you saw them. And, of course, they're still on Earth 2, of course. And so the idea was to match up the veterans of JSA with these younger characters, and they created this name called the Super Squad. And that name was quickly dropped because it was kind of goofy. But the Super Squad was composed of the Earth 2 Robin, who was now an adult. And Batman had retired. Star Spangled Kid, who was a member of the Seven Soldiers of Victory, and it was Star Spangled Kid and Stripesy, but now Star Spangled Kid is an adult as well. And Power Girl. So her initial origin story in here is like two panels. I'm Kal-El's cousin, and obviously it took me longer to get to Earth, and that's about it. I mean, it's the shortest origin story ever. It was expanded in a showcase story by Paul Levitz, and it is very much like Supergirl, except she took a lot longer to get to Earth, so she's an adult by the time she gets to Earth.
So they were, Supergirl was a cousin, and Power Girl was a cousin?
Of the two different Supermen, the Earth 2 Superman.
Okay.
So
there was no Supergirl in that continuity?
There was no Supergirl in the Golden Age.
Okay.
And they wanted to have an analog to Supergirl, and it was Power Girl.
Okay.
So you had Kara Zor-El with just an L versus Kara Zor-El E-L. Because in the Golden Age, Jor-El was J-O-R-L, no E-L. That's how you tell the difference. It's very, very minimal. And so in this case, the Earth 2 Superman and Lois Lane Kent, who at that point are married, adopt her temporarily, and she trains for a short time prior to this, her first appearance in All-Star Comics. She's very brassy and pushy. She tends to run into danger without a plan. And then, of course, there's the costume, which has a lot of controversy over the years about the costume.
Was she always pretty exposed?
Yes, although that hole tended to expand over the years.
Mm-hmm.
They finally actually explained it just prior to the reboot that she didn't know what she wanted to put there.
Oh, so she didn't have like an S.
Yeah. So instead, let's just
leave it out.
Leave it out.
Gotcha.
So she adopts a secret identity of Karen Starr. Then All-Star Comics is canceled as part of the DC implosion in 1978. And this was an event kind of making fun of the DC explosion, they were calling it at the time, of, oh, there's all these new titles, and then all the new titles didn't do well, and suddenly things weren't looking good in the comic book industry, and so they killed a bunch of titles, many of which had actually already been printed, and they just didn't make it to the stands, and they just were destroyed.
So instead of an implosion, it would be a DC boot?
Yes, exactly.
So those comics that got titled are part of the DC boot now.
Yes. So from then on in, for a while, the only time you saw her were in these JLA-JSA team-ups, the annual events in Justice League of America comics. She ends up in Infinity Incorporated in 1983, who are these heirs or namesakes to JSA members, again, still going on in Earth 2. Then the Crisis on Infinite Earths occurs, and there's no more Earth 2. So it's time for a rewrite. She's no longer a Kryptonian because they made a big decision as part of the reboot of Superman.
That there weren't going to be any other Kryptonians.
He's the only one.
Right.
So now she's an Atlantean, and she's the granddaughter of Arion, who's now, this sorcerer.
At that same time, they made Power Girl some sort of a amorphous blob. Is that right?
Supergirl, yes.
Supergirl,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, yes, they did.
Because she couldn't be Kryptonian either.
Right, right.
Okay.
She was an alien, but not a Kryptonian.
Okay.
And she was frozen in suspended animation for millennia, and suddenly she's out. So mm-hmm. Kind of a Captain America kind of thing. And she joins Justice League International, and then Justice League Europe. At one point, she switches to this ugly yellow and white jumpsuit with like a rolled-up collar thing, which doesn't last long. During Zero Hour in 1994, she has a mystical pregnancy. And her son, Equinox, ages rapidly and then disappears and is never mentioned again.
Boy, that is just a trope that keeps reappearing in all different genres of science fiction, doesn't it?
Yes.
We just saw Deanna Troi go through something like that on Star Trek Next Generation.
Yes. But a lot of weird things happened during Zero Hour. And because it was rewriting time a lot, they were like, oh, well, that just never really happened. So for a time, then she joins the Sovereign Seven, who was a Chris Claremont group he was brought over to DC, and it's like, you can do whatever you want, your own title. And he created this brand new team of otherwise brand new characters. And for a while, Power Girl was a member of that team as well. She rejoins the JSA in the late 90s. And during that run, Arion comes to her and tells her the whole Atlantean story is a lie. And then in JSA Classified in 2005, Psycho Pirate tells her she is from Earth 2 Krypton, because Psycho Pirate was directly involved in the events in Crisis on Infinite Earths. He was one of the only people who still remembered there were multiple Earths.
So at this point, the DC editors realize we can't really get along without having multiple Earths.
Yes, and that's when they started reintroducing that.
Okay.
So in Infinite Crisis, where they actually did introduce the multiple Earths, again, Kal-El, just the L, no E, so Superman of Earth 2, and Lois Lane Kent return. Lois's touch somehow restores Kara's memories. And Earth 2 is recreated.
Woohoo!
Karen returns there, but in the JSA title, and actually in a special, she finds another Power Girl on that Earth 2, and she returns to what we're now calling New Earth, or Earth, now will be Earth 1 again.
Have they decided that?
No, but okay. That's what everyone's going to call it. So finally, after all these years, she finally gets an ongoing series in 2009 by Palmiotti and Gray, and then Winnick and Bosri take over about halfway through. It's a rather lighthearted title. This one we really enjoyed. In fact, just last week mentioned that this was one of my top 10 in terms of these things that had gone on over the last 4 years of the show.
Right, and that's pretty much the only Power Girl that I really remember, besides seeing her pop up in the old jail eyes.
Right.
And I really, really did like that take on the character, and it kind of made me sad then to go back and read when she was sort of a hard and bitter character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she returns to Justice League International during Brightest Day, and they're all fighting Maxwell Lord, who the world now doesn't remember, and that whole storyline. So now the reboot occurs, and in the new DCU, she has appearances in Mr. Terrific. They don't immediately say it's who that she's
Power Girl. Karen Starr.
Karen Starr.
Yes.
Not as Power Girl. There probably would have been more of a storyline for her in Mr. Terrific if the title hadn't been canceled. And then she has this quick appearance at the end of the Huntress miniseries that just ended, and where they confirm she's the Power Girl of Earth 2, now even after the reboot.
But she is on Earth 1, right?
She's on Earth 1.
Yes.
As is Huntress.
Mm-hmm.
So, very convoluted history for this character.
Of course, none of the history actually counts anymore.
But it's good to know the backstory.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So, another character with multiple continuities is Huntress. First off, the same character name was used as a Justice Society villain in the Golden Age. They renamed the character to avoid confusion later as Tigress.
Oh.
But she was originally called Huntress.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So who we see as Tigress now
is the daughter of the Golden Age Huntress/Tigress.
Excellent.
Her first appearance is in DC Superstars number 17 and All-Star Comics number 69, and I say that because they both came out on the same day in 1977, which in 1977 was unheard of to have a character had her inaugural appearance was in two different comics in the same day.
Did they have comics that all came out like on Wednesdays back then?
They were still Wednesday comics then, yeah.
Okay.
But again, that kind of coordination was unheard of.
Yes. Maybe it wasn't supposed to happen
yeah.
that way.
Probably. Created by Paul Levitz and Joe Staton. She's Helena Wayne. She's the daughter of the Earth 2 Bruce Wayne, Batman, and Selina Kyle, Catwoman. She trains under both of them, but she doesn't become a hero, at least at first. She ends up becoming a lawyer. But Selena is blackmailed into donning the costume again in this her last storyline. She ends up getting killed.
Now, am I not correct that by that point, Bruce and Selena were divorced or separated or something?
They might have been. I thought they were still... I think you're right. I think they were separated by that point.
Okay.
But they'd been married. They had a child. Batman had been retired. He actually ends up, right before he gets killed, he becomes Senator Wayne.
Right.
So he becomes a U.S. Senator. So Helena decides to bring the blackmailer to justice, borrows her parents' equipment from the apparently shuttered Batcave, but decides to remain a superheroine afterwards. And as I mentioned, Bruce is killed soon after that, and Helena joins the Justice Society and then Infinity Incorporated, as Power Girl did, and she's seen in JLA-JSA crossovers. And she strikes up a friendship with Power Girl. And at one point, we see she has a relationship with the Gotham District Attorney, and then at one point, the Earth 2 Robin has a relationship with him.
Okay. Why wouldn't she have become, like, Batgirl or Batwoman or, you know, taken the name of one of her parents' superhero identities?
Keep in mind that back then, this is Golden Age, there was a Golden Age Batwoman and a Golden Age Batgirl who
okay.
were both retired at that point. So the names were kind of used.
All right.
And then, as in Power Girl, the Crisis on Infinite Earths occurs. At the time, apparently, the character was being considered for a regular series right before the crisis, but then they can't do that. Instead, Earth 2 is merged with Earth 1, because
Ooh.
There's only one Earth. There's also Earth 4 and Earth S. And her family now never existed in this new continuity, because, again, as part of the let's get everything organized, there, of course, can't be a Golden Age Batman.
Right.
So there's never a Golden Age Bruce Wayne, so she doesn't have a family anymore. And because she was in some sort of, I remember she was in some sort of fight in a vortex or something, she's somehow protected from ceasing to exist. But she's then killed in the final battle by the Shadow Demons in Crisis on Infinite Earths. This is all 1986. Then in 1989, she's reborn as a brand new character, Helena Bertinelli, in Huntress Number 1. She's created by Joey Cavallari and Joe Staton. Joe Staton had created the previous version, been the co-creator of the previous version of Huntress. So she's more of an anti-hero. She's the daughter of a mafia kingpin, and she makes it her mission to destroy the mafia in Italy.
Well, and that's because the mafia actually killed off her family, right?
Right.
They came in and killed everybody at the dinner table except for her.
And she's a kid and survived. And she joins the Bat family off and on. She's brought on during crossovers of the Bat titles. At one point, she actually joins the JLA, but she's kicked out when she tries to kill Prometheus. She's in Checkmate for a period of time. Finally, she ends up in Birds of Prey, where she's working alongside Oracle and Black Canary, and she forms this long-term relationship with Dinah. And at one point, her origin was slightly changed, but it got set back. Apparently, a writer went in one direction, and the editors decided to let it go in that direction, then changed their mind. She was then a daughter of a mob family in Gotham instead of Italy, and she was inspired by Batman to become Huntress. And then they went, no, we don't like that, and they changed it. They went back to what they had before. She has a relationship on multiple occasions with Nightwing.
Which makes things a little awkward with Oracle.
Yes. So during No Man's Land, which was this whole concept that Gotham had gone through so many disasters and plagues and earthquakes and da-da-da, that the federal government said, we're tired of bailing you out. You're no longer part of the United States. We're blowing up the bridges. You're on your own. And during that time, the various members of the Bat family kind of started controlling the gangs and the villains of Gotham to try to keep some sort of order. So during No Man's Land, she briefly becomes Batgirl, but she fails Batman in a critical point, and he says, you can't be Batgirl anymore, and she goes back to being Huntress and goes back on her own. So in the new DCU, we just finished this Huntress miniseries. She's stopping the mob again, but now she apparently is Helena Wayne again. She's the Earth 2 Huntress again. And we now know that Huntress and Power Girl will be the new world's finest of Earth 2 because there's going to be a miniseries coming May or June, I believe, coming out for this new concept alongside the new Earth 2 title.
Will they be on Earth 2 or will they be on Earth 1?
Apparently they're going to be on Earth 2. They're somehow getting to Earth 2.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe that's what the whole title is about, them getting to Earth 2.
Trying
we don't
to get
really
back
know.
There.
We
yeah.
don't really know yet.
Okay.
All right. Before we get out of here, I think it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Now, Mark, we're actually playing with last week's Entertainment Weekly because we didn't do it last week.
Yeah, we ran a little long last week.
So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Just to let you know, there are two different covers. One of them is a newsstand cover, and one of them is the cover that was mailed out.
Okay.
And they pertain to different things. So, I'm going to have you try to guess both of them.
Ooh.
We'll start with the newsstand cover. Go.
Okay. TV related.
No.
Movie related.
Yes.
Hunger Games.
That's correct. Okay. So moving on to the email cover.
The email cover,
the subscriber
the mail,
cover.
The subscriber cover is Game of Thrones.
No.
Is it TV related?
No.
Movie related?
No.
Book related?
Yes.
Is it also Hunger Games?
It is not. Although you'd almost think
you'd
so.
You think. Okay, book related.
Yes.
Wow. We haven't seen a book one forever.
That wasn't the Hunger Games
yeah, exactly.
or Twilight.
Or Twilight. Okay. I assume it's, is it entertainment related? Is it about the entertainment industry?
The book?
Yes.
No.
Is it genre related?
Yes.
Is it horror related?
No.
Is it science fiction?
No.
Is it mystery?
No.
Superhero?
No.
So it's genre, but it's none of the major ones.
You won't get this.
A book coming out.
Well, it's already out.
Already out. Is it fiction?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Is the protagonist a man?
I don't think so.
It's a woman?
Yes.
Okay. And man, I'm not good on the book ones. But it's genre related. Is it not horror, not science fiction, not superhero, not mystery, procedural?
No.
Medical?
No.
Supernatural?
No.
But it's genre.
Okay. Because you probably haven't heard of it. Although
probably not.
It's very much a cultural phenomena at this point. Have you heard of the book 50 Shades of Grey?
Never heard of it.
It's erotic fiction, apparently. And it's like this huge, huge, huge bestseller.
And they put this on the cover of Entertainment Weekly?
Yes.
Wow.
That's why they couldn't put it on the newsstand copy.
Oh, I see. I assume because the newsstand cover had some like late breaking story or something.
No.
It wasn't that they
no,
just literally couldn't
it's...
send it out.
Yes.
Wow. That's weird. All right. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including my blog where I'm talking about Hogan's Heroes and Star Trek The Next Generation. Subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review, and please enter the big contest.
You can email us at podcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, and be entered in the contest. Follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.